call our meeting back to order. And we covered both benefits experience on our list and health insurance renewal, right? They were both in that conversation we just had.
I believe we have.
All right. So, do we want to do Linda, or do we want to tackle contracts?
Let's have Linda's, huh?
I'll be in here for both.
All right. Ready to start on contract?
How about auctioneer? Are you here for both or just for auctioneer services? Don?
For both. I have auctioneer services, a retro contract, and I'm also invited in on this contract session as well.
Don, you're here just for auctioneer?
Contracts,
okay.
Let's do our auctioneering then, if that'd be all right with everyone. Don can go about what else she has to do. Linda's got us some info, spreadsheet or something.
Yes, I do.
Morning, Sheriff. Nice to see you, sir. And Maggie, too. We got both the top notchers over there. Are we expecting a scuffle or is what?
Just, you never know anymore.
Okay, just checking.
I have the bid tabulation as well as Dawn helped me look at figures. I know at the last moment we kind of talked about in-house and what the cost difference would be. So we got a spreadsheet together on that as well.
Okay.
I have the prices that each company bid, and then also I got the figure that was grossed from the 2009 auction. So in the last column, I went with the prices that were bid if we looked at what was grossed in 2009, which was our gross from the auction was $20,433.
That's on the top right of this page. I think you have that.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay, I see that.
We had three bidders. Easley Auction Company, they bid 8.5% of gross receipts with a maximum charge of $3,000. Mountain Country Auctions bid $299 total cost to the county. And then we also had Gov Deals, which is an online government surplus auction, submit a bid for 7.5%. And they also have tier pricing, which I attached. Their 7.5 begins at 100,000, and then the higher that an item sells for, of course, they will go down, giving you a better deal.
Okay.
I did visit with her on the amount that was grossed last year, and she did say we would be starting out at the 7.5. Of course, with that, they come to Taney County. They train us on how to take pictures and upload them on their surplus website.
Okay.
When something is sold, that's when we are charged our 7.5. There was also like an option B to where the buyer would have to pay. If we paid 5%, they would have to pay the 2.5%. So I did attach that behind as well with the bid.
I'm going to make a motion.
Okay, and then you see the separate sheet where it's got the cost with the in-house.
If we did it ourselves.
If we did it ourselves,
gotcha.
Yes, sir.
Right. I'm hearing your motion.
Motion to accept Mountain Country Auctions for total cost to the county of $299.
As low bidder, second.
As low bidder.
Low bid insurance?
Yeah, at the bottom, we did, Rick Finley and I discussed that not many, if any, of the auction companies carry workman's comp insurance, and we have a workman's comp audit every year. I keep track of the workman's comp, and then I turn that over to Dawn when we're audited. So there will be some type of slight fee. Rick, do you have any idea on what that?
That's the same with everybody, though.
It would be the same with it. It's noted at the bottom. Taney County will be responsible for cashiering and advertising as placed in the bid, and then workman's comp will need to be added to the total cost.
Right.
That would be with any company.
We had on here, I see that we have the two gentlemen from the mechanics shop included in here as for help. We need one of those at least there to quote. When we have our vehicle sales, which is going to be the biggest, largest amount, probably, so they need to be there to quote any, so if they say this is a good vehicle, just needs a small repair or whatever, could make a large difference in the amount of money that a vehicle is blindly bought at or with a mechanic making a statement. So I would like to have at least one, if not both of those gentlemen there.
That's been brought to my attention as well, and that we receive more money by the mechanics being there and being able to explain the vehicle. So I'm 100% behind you on that.
Well, with one, you're grinning. You got a comment?
Not one, sir.
Would they both are there, what, 3 days a week? Is one okay, is what I'm trying to get to. You have a good point.
Yeah, and they've been there. They've helped. I mean, I've been up there to the auction. They are around there helping all the time. So I don't see any problem with both of them being there.
Mm-hmm. If I'm reading, all right, tightwad speaking here, I'm reading Linda's sheet here. We're talking $270 on top of the $299.
On top of the $295 too.
That's correct.
$295 for workman's comp.
Oh, it won't be that much. It will be a certain percentage of the $299.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay.
But still didn't come to the next lowest bidder.
Right.
No. Oh, no.
But I didn't get my message. My message is we've got the job bid here for $299.
Yes, sir.
Period. The point is that you're making, Danny, it might bring a higher dollar on some vehicles if we got a mechanic there to say this is wrong with this one and this is wrong with that one. Do we need both of them? Because it's going to cost us $270 to have two of them there.
And to their point is...
Is that right, Linda?
On overtime, it will. I mean, we also have the option, regular time is $180. You know, I don't know if they'll work with us to take a day off to be able to work the auction. I have it with regular time and overtime. But, yes, I think it's very, very beneficial to the county if they can get us more money. If somebody... can't get any information out of the vehicle, they're not going to want to bid much.
Right.
As to a mechanic telling you what it'll take to fix it, and you could have a...
I agree totally. My question is, do we need one or do we need both of them?
I want both of them there because one of them will be watching the... Yeah.
Okay. That's great. I just wanted to know, did we and why?
Yeah.
Are you all right with that?
Great.
Okay. We got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. And we'll ask Robert and Bob to work it out.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Linda.
We want to switch to contracts, or do we want to get the... This has already been... The lighting retrofit has already been brought to your attention.
Right.
We just had to change a paragraph. The way the payment was supposed to be set up was after each phase, which will be... Mark Twain School will be completed within a week. They will submit an invoice to us along with, next will be Kirbyville, and then the two health departments. But it stated the other way. Debbie Redford had written the contract. Bob revised it, but she didn't realize that she didn't write it to where they could be paid after each one invoices. So that's the only difference. Now, Bob's reviewed it.
So basically we're paying the GC fee after they complete each project, which is each location.
Correct.
And Monday it was voted that at the end of the project, really, that's not correct. It's per location.
Okay, that's after completion. There's no 50% payment, no 75% payment or anything.
None of that changes.
Just after, and all documentation will have to be accounted for.
Motion to approve the change.
To me prior to them.
Get that?
Are we approving a change, or is this the first time to approve it?
It's really approving a change because you signed it already.
On Monday, you approved it.
Right. Gotcha. Very good. Second on the motion to change
the retrofit labor. What is it? The retrofit labor contract is what the motion. That's the change of what we're changing.
Other discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
Look at the date
right there, which is... Okay.
It's Rick's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Rick. Want us to sing?
I said today's 29th.
Would you like us to sing?
I would move that Danny Strahan sings.
All right, second.
I'd say you look mighty good for 70.
Thank you,
Danny.
Thank you.
All right, scratch that motion. I withdraw it.
Withdraw my second.
All right.
Got a little fun in there. That's good. All right, let's move back up to contracts work session. And that's all about the way we handle and store and deal with our contracts. Anybody, I see Nikki Rage say something.
Yeah,
go for it.
I guess my biggest issue is I want some clarification on who's responsible for obtaining all the signatures. Because right now there are a couple different departments.
Here. So you've got one of your questions is who once we vote mm-hmm. on a contract or
correct.
A grant or whatever, who is responsible for signatures?
Correct.
Okay.
And when you say responsible, what do you mean? Be sure
carrying it.
Who's the individual that carries it around to the different
okay.
departments?
Gotcha.
Who sends it out?
Okay.
And make sure the original comes back, make sure the original gets to Donna, a copy gets to our office, a copy gets to Linda. I mean, there's lots of little steps. And then when it doesn't take place like that, our office gets the calls and we get the brunt of it, why it wasn't done correctly.
So your thought is that it should be one person responsible?
That's just my opinion, yes.
Okay.
Or office.
And that's...
Well, the right when we say the office, and I think because they, you and Jillian and whoever else in the future is there, they are paying attention to our votes. So you know when it's voted on.
Right.
All right. Since
or if you guys don't want to do it that way, I'm okay with that. I need you guys to make a decision on this.
I don't want to make things difficult, but Maggie and Jimmy are here, and
right.
we've got like David Roselle brings us certain ones.
Correct.
Are you thinking you need to be responsible to carry those around? Or?
I don't know. I mean, this is a work session, and
okay.
I mean, I think we need to discuss it and talk about it.
Most of the contracts come to your office anyways.
Yeah, come. Yeah. Anybody that's speaking, come to the mic, as Rick has done so very well.
I believe that from
you have to talk about it on that one.
Standpoint of making sure that different people know about contracts, I think it would be real good to have one of those signatures required before it ever gets to your office. I think that the department that's initiating this grant, that's initiating this contract, should get probably the commission's signature on it. Once the commission's signature on it, if they would take it to Nikki then has to go get two other signatures.
Okay, you need to start over and say that again, or give me an example, because I don't think I'm following you all the way.
What I'm trying to relate this to is that, like in our accounts payable and our payroll, somebody wants to buy something for accounts payable. I don't like to see some department ordering for another department. It shouldn't happen. And so the way we try to avoid that is every accounts payable that's asked to go through our department should be initiated by the department that's actually spending the money. And so I'm thinking it would be a good thing to do with this, too. Every contract that we have, whichever department initiates that, should get the commissioner's signature on it. And preferably, I'd like to see all three commissioners' signature on it, or at least two of them. That makes it good for me. And I think it makes it good for Nikki, too. Then she doesn't have to worry about if she didn't hear the minutes, it's okay because she's got two commissioner's signatures there, and she's okay.
So
after she gets it, then, she needs two more signatures. She needs mine if they're spending money, and she needs Donna's to attest the signatures.
Mm-hmm. Most of our grants and stuff that come in to the commission office.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then require, like on the COPS grant stuff, it requires my signature and the commission's signature.
Maggie's given an indication that maybe that's not all the case.
Not on all of them.
Okay.
But a lot of them are.
But in that situation, Jimmy, aren't we as a commission still responsible as if it's not fulfilled correctly?
Correct.
So we vote on everything, though. Mm-hmm. Okay.
On that. Now, we do have some contracts that we do with, like, the forestry and stuff like that.
Right.
But it just requires my signature.
Okay.
Through the forestry. We just handle those ourselves. And that isn't us purchasing stuff. That is just, that's us.
Services.
Doing services for reimbursement.
Right.
Jimmy, I want to ask you a question about that, too. When you do those services, and we have certain situations where we have intergovernmental agreements, and it would be nice if we knew about those so that we could apply those to some intergovernmental agreements that we have to take care of in those situations. You know what I'm, you know, you guys, we've run into this a lot as far as some village or incorporated area or even outside there that we need to do an intergovernmental agreement with a Corps, forestry, whatever. And if we knew that you had a contract or something with them that provided a service, we could apply that to the intergovernmental agreement, and the documentation would be enough to help.
We can get you copies of that.
Yeah.
Well, the only ones we have, we've got two with the Corps, which is on for Bull Shoals, one for Bull Shoals, one for Table Rock, and that's all for running the parks that they have. Mm. And then we've got one with the forestry, two with the forestry. One's for patrols of certain trailheads and things, and then the other one is for drug patrols through the forestry.
Let's go backwards if we could, because I'm still not with what you were saying, Rick. Let's example. We just approved two contracts.
The retrofit contract.
We just approved a retrofit contract on our lighting.
Correct.
Did we do another one? Yeah, the auctioneer.
But that's,
we just did an auction. Which I don't guess there's a contract
there
on
contract.
It. But let's do the lighting retrofit contract that we just changed for the first time around. How you want to do it? Help me out again. What you're saying we ought to be
my
doing.
Suggestion.
How would that fit into that process?
My suggestion would be, Linda has brought that because it's coming through her department. My suggestion would be that you and one of the other commissioners, I think to make it easy for Nikki so that she doesn't have to look and make sure it's been approved, you and one other commissioner's signature on there. You know, if you want all three, would be great. On the contract.
Before or after we vote on it?
After you vote on it, you guys put your signatures, at least two signatures.
Post.
Because it takes two to pass it.
Mm-hmm. Like right as you approve mm-hmm. the contract, you mm-hmm. sign it.
Okay, well, that's what we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but there's two additional signatures, so who's responsible? Is Linda going to be responsible, or does she bring it back to our office to do it?
At that point, from my standpoint, I think at that point you would want to take that to Nikki and let Nikki go get the other two signatures. And Nikki and I have one of the things that I think is really going to be good, and I think probably you can do this, I don't know what you're doing with everybody else, but I no longer keep a paper copy of the contracts I sign. She scans those to my email, and I think, you know, we're gonna get things a little streamlined there. But that makes it good. And then if the department that initiated it wants a copy, they can either get a copy or they can have it scanned to them too.
All right, humor me.
Okay.
Because I still don't get it. The presiding commissioner is going to sign the contract. Most generally, there's just that one signature required on most contracts. You're saying we need to do what additional?
I'm saying that for Nikki's ease of mind and comfort and a lot of other people's, I would get another commissioner's signature on there. So you have two commissioner signatures. That way she don't, because sometimes if it comes through with one signature, she might say, well, you know, is this been approved? Well, she might have to go look. She might have to go look with check with all you guys. If there's two signatures, she doesn't have to worry about looking.
Okay, so the contract, excuse me, Danny, but so the contract would have to come to us with a place for all three, or
at least for two signatures.
Just for a second, I'm just curious. If there's,
I don't think, I think you went.
You have to have a place on the contract for you to sign. I mean,
well,
Linda,
not that the retrofit.
Where did the retrofit go?
Let me see it, Linda.
You see what I'm saying, Rick? I mean, if.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a big problem. Even if there's not,
you just add another line, but we would have to change. Instead of just having the one signature, to two or three signatures.
Yeah, and I don't know where you're going to get into, what you're going to get into with problems on that, on a lot of these federal grants and stuff. I mean, they're not going to change their forms.
No. It'd almost be easier if Nikki would just attach minutes to each contract, because
that would be fine if you want to do that.
I can do that.
I was just thinking making it easy for her is all I think.
Modifying the contract would be difficult, but the minutes attached is a process, is attaching the minutes.
That's what you're saying.
The dilemma with that is it's going to slow down the process a lot, because how long is it going to take her to have approved minutes?
7 days usually. I mean,
and she doesn't even have to have approved. She can have a draft minutes by the end of the day.
Because you at least have it.
So if that's available, that'd be fine.
Yeah, she does. I mean, we get minutes the same.
We're typing them right now.
Yeah, so same day.
So
you can just attach draft.
I think you're going through a whole deal, and I disagree with all of it. When we take a vote, and Chuck has one single line to sign, it's in the minutes. That's all that's needed. Every governmental contract that comes in here that's away from here has presiding commissioner on it, and he just. I mean, we take a vote and we make sure that say that would be a point for the other two commissioners, say, sign that contract or make sure that he signs that contract because we've already got a vote on it. And he only signs it whenever we sit there and vote it and she takes it and it's all over with. We don't have to look up two other commissioners or if one's gone or whatever. So what if one person disagrees with it or doesn't sign it or something like that. So one person on a vote signs the thing and that's enough.
I agree with the one signature thing. Just to let you know a little bit about what goes on in our office. Once Nikki brings it to us, then we hold on to the copy until we get the original. And then once we get the original, we scan that into our system. So you have access to it. Your office, all your staff has access to it scanned. And it's also then put into the vault, the original. I talked to Nikki about this earlier, and a lot of times we'll have the commission make a motion to change something in the contract, and once that's changed, you're approving it. So you make a motion, I make a motion to approve this with this change. Well, you don't have it on hand, but other professionals that come before the commissioners who bring contracts, such as Mel, we'll bring a contract to you, and you guys say, well, I don't like the way that change order is written, or I don't like this. And you tell Bob to go, that Bob wants a change, and they'll go right over to their office, have their people fix it, and they bring that contract back the same day, either to be voted on if you table it, or to get signatures that very same day. And so I think we need, it would be something I would appreciate, that when we're voting on a contract, you have the contract in hand. We don't make a motion to approve this contract with these changes because that creates, you don't have it in your hands right there. You can't sign it because it's not complete. And okay. That would make it more efficient for us, I think.
So let's follow what you just said and what Danny said. And is the key maybe that the person or persons in the commission office is designated to bring the contract to the commission when it's voted on, and we don't need to go there. I mean, as you said, Danny, if it's voted on, they're responsible. Let's just use Nikki. Nikki would be the one responsible, A, to bring a copy of the contract, whether it's Great River or whoever it is, and B, to confirm, however how it's confirmed, that there's been a vote, whether she was there present, you know, which most times she'd be here present. I'm just thinking of Great River. We do a lot of with them. Okay. When they bring us a contract, Nikki would have to be present when it's voted on and signed.
Yeah, and it doesn't. And what you're trying to say is she doesn't have to bring it to us, but she has to retrieve it. Once it is signed, she retrieves it and takes it to every other place.
Right. She'd have to be present to do that.
But I can give you an example where that system... there was a breakdown in the system with the MoDOT and the LPA group contract.
What happened?
We had a different engineer won the bid. They got the vote. We voted on it. And what Great River normally does, LPA didn't know that they were responsible for doing it. We sent contracts to MoDOT that were unsigned from a lot of people. We sent bad paperwork, and so what happened, they had to send everything back to us, and we had to start the process over again just 2 weeks ago. Right?
Three or four.
Yeah.
So what should have happened?
I still think ultimately...
What could have prevented it?
We
I was not involved in that contract.
Exactly. We didn't have the commission office involved.
So if she was involved, she could have contacted Mark Perrin or whoever she needed to contact to be sure all the dots were crossed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So again, I think the key is that...
We got to have the commission involved.
That the person in the commission office is involved,
right,
and they understand that they need the minutes or they need to confirm that they were there or
something. Or
isn't the commission the only one that can sign a legally binding contract for the county?
But there's other signatures that have to go along.
Right.
I mean, sometimes.
So any contract the commission's got to kind of be the starting point.
It's got to make sense.
To post the meeting, that it goes to the commission. So.
I have a quick question. I'm sorry. I on grants, for instance, I have a grant that I will bring to you guys on Monday, the 2010 COPS Technology Grant, $400,000 grant. It has to be approved and it has to have a signature from the presiding commissioner. That's it. It doesn't have to have anything attested. So what do we do at that spot? Would I then mail that back to them or carry through on the facts like I did for Maggie, or do we give that to Nikki?
I think everything needs to go through Nikki, because ultimately we're going to want to know if we've had this conversation last year, possibly or earlier this year, which was Danny wants a roll of filing cabinets of every contract, that because ultimately they're going to call the commission, where are we at in the COPS grant? We want to be able to go to something.
Which has happened.
And we, what first thing we do is call our office. I mean, see, Jillian and Nikki find it.
Mm-hmm. If we're not involved in it, we're.
Yeah.
We will be audited on them.
Absolutely. Yes. So
let's chase that rabbit real quick. Yes. So the paper, because Rick and Donna have said they are not keeping paper, they're doing.
Well, yeah, you got to keep paper, so.
We keep the original, Chuck, in
okay.
the vault.
All right,
for
so.
Storage. And then we also scan it so that your office, anybody that we've given privileges to, can just pull it up.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, to Danny's point, do we want two paper copies, one in the clerk's office and one in the commission office? Are you satisfied to have one?
I think there's going to be three. Well, who scans it in? Out of you two, who?
Rick said he scanned.
Well, here's the deal. I agree with the scanning. Maybe not all of us are going to be we may not be as advanced technology-wise, and so we'll need a hard copy.
What do you mean by that?
I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
I think probably if you have a hard copy in one office and you're confident, that's good, though, Jim. If you've got a hard copy in the clerk's office, they could go to the clerk's office and get it. I don't need a hard copy for sure.
I want hard copies.
Yeah.
I kind of thought. I mean, I'm thinking here that we always have three copies. It's usually a copy for the commission, the original to the clerk, and then a copy to the initiator of the request.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's what it looks like.
If you want paper copies, you can have paper copies. But if Jim calls me and he says, well, I need a copy of a grant, I'm going to go to DocuWare, pull it up, print it, and that's going to be his copy. Because we don't scan it in until... All the signatures.
I'm not criticizing anybody in this conversation, but if we don't have a file cabinet and we don't have a list of those grants and those contracts and everything, and they are moved forward as they need to be renewed, they get left out. We have had this last week request for different contracts and things, and we have searched, and there's not any paperwork on there. I know that everything has taken place that's official, but we need a file cabinet with every grant, contract, and everything in there, and the renewable ones need to be in a place to where when they come due, they aren't pulled to the front, everybody's organized and knows exactly what it is.
And we may not be the people in office whenever it's asked for.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
May not be there. And so that's my solution to it. When the Corps of Engineers calls and wants a copy of something, and we have to go searching through the courthouse or like the COPS grants, or they want a certain deal, and we've got a file cabinet there that's got that contract in it. We found one in my office that I knew was present from 2 years ago. And how we found it, I don't know from looking at my office. But that's another subject. But we found it in there, and it was something that they were needing in a meeting that we had. If we had it to where we could just run up there, pull a file out, and there it is, and present it to them, it's just more professional for everybody.
Oh, I don't know, Danny. If it was on the website or on someplace where Jim could access it right here, you wouldn't even have to run up there if it was on scan.
Well, that's fine, but I would like for it to be up there, too.
Oh, I think you need to have it up there, but I think the scan would work good.
Okay, we've got some good conversation. We need to, as we move forward, if we agree on something, let's mark it down.
Yeah.
as far
have we agreed
as
on anything yet?
The logical place for it to start would be with Nikki to be getting the signatures and stuff.
I'm 100% for that.
Right. Start with.
So Maggie, you better come up and say it.
Yep.
You've tried a couple of times.
The point of contact on a grant, and I'm only going to talk grants. The point of contact, whoever the point of contact is that's listed on the grant, whether it's myself, whether it's Jimmy, whether it's Sean Barnwell, whoever it is, that person is the person who is responsible for maintaining a copy of that grant, maintaining all of the expenses, all of the EEOPs, and et cetera. So when the audit happens, the audit is not going to come to Nikki. The audit will come strictly right. to whoever is the point of whatever department is the point of contact is who the audit is going to go to.
I agree with part of all of that except that we're the ones responsible if there's a violation.
Well, that's the second thing. The way I hear it, we still, what Jim says, we still have to be responsible. But the grant person,
the initiator, said, needs to be the point of contact.
They
that's
are
correct.
A second responsible person.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't think so, we should change the point of contact.
If it's okay. If it's a grant,
I mean, maybe. The main thing we're here for is just the handling of the signatures, getting those done.
That is correct.
And getting everything distributed.
But the grants are an important thing. Maybe when our office files them, there's a place that on the top of the file or something that says who's, whether it's Maggie or Jimmy or Linda or whoever it is, so that we know right off.
Yep.
Without having to look at, try to read it and find it.
Well, this is where I'm at. Is that you guys are by far of all the grants that we have come through the office are the most organized. We have some grants that are not as organized that are maybe outside agencies, completely outside of Taney County. Those people are supposed to be responsible for the same things that Maggie just said, but they're not. And so they're supposed to be, but yet if they don't do it. They just don't do it, and once again, we're held responsible. So, just need to be some sort of communication. I don't want anything to happen if Maggie and Jimmy aren't here 8 years from now. You know, the process is somehow the commission needs to know that that checkpoint of that deadline was met. I just some sort of communication back and forth because I'm not so concerned currently with how you guys handle grants. Linda and I've dealt with grants last year, and we missed some reporting dates, and the grant got suspended. You know what I'm talking about, I think. I can say it's that shelter. Was it the shelter grant?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I just figured out how that communication works.
When we finalized the grant, which I just did, I just finalized one of the grants.
So now, just sit right here.
Is Nikki aware of that?
That's the only thing I'm trying to figure out is if...
Would a simple cover sheet type of thing for the file, I'm talking the commission file, the top says who's responsible, and then when the commission office gets it, that responsible person gives dates of what needs to be reported, deadlines, and that's put on that cover sheet. And then to your point, when it's done and over with, you notify the commission office that it's all complete and signed off on.
We probably ought to just give. Whoever's going to be keeping them up there, probably I'll just give them copies of all of our reports we did and everything.
Your thoughts, Nikki? Cover sheet? What do you think?
Well, I mean, we're not necessarily going to completely take over the grant.
No, we don't want to do
that. No, we don't want to.
No, and I think that's what you're thinking.
I'm just stating what the grant itself says. The grant itself says.
Anyway.
We don't want it to happen, so there you go.
You got enough stuff going on upstairs.
No, but I can see your point that in the future, if I'm not going to be here, you need to know where that grant stands. And that's why I was asking.
Yeah.
I just finalized the grant. We've used all of the money. The grant is over and done with. So my question back to you is, when we finalize the grant, since your name is on it, do I notify Nikki then with the paperwork that's showing that that grant is now done?
I would think so for
Absolutely.
Us to complete the file.
And that'd be on the back of the file, see, as soon as that's done.
Okay, because
the
I
last
also
thing
have
in the file
it
rack
in the
is that. Right.
And then wouldn't the auditor have to have that?
Well, I usually keep him abreast of what's going on.
Maggie
does
a pretty good job
of
sharing that. She's one of the best ones, I think.
The person... Again, it might be the example Jim gave. It's not you all that work with him a lot. It might be Linda that is working with more and more. But could be anybody, then again, that person in the commission office would be responsible when that thing gets started that you say, let's use Linda. Linda, all right, what are your dates? And if it's somebody that's not real familiar, then right off the top, they understand that they're responsible for that, and so that something doesn't slip.
Yeah, your electronic signal should send a time on that date that something's due. And
what do you think, Linda?
I think that's a wonderful idea. I also think I have been asked to house a copy of all the grants, but I can tell you when I get a call from the commission office from the girls and they're looking for one, and I pull it, and I have been lucky enough that someone shared with me, because the communication is getting better in Taney County, but it's not great when it comes to grants. The sheriff's office is wonderful. Maggie and Jimmy, they're great, but there are grants that I don't even know about until someone comes and says, I need to purchase something, and then I go, oh, it's for a grant. Because there's actually paperwork that's got to be done when any type of grant money is spent. There's certification, debarment, and so forth that have to be put into the files. But there's also times that the girls will call and they'll say, what do you know on this? And there's times where I couldn't even tell you who's reporting on it. If it's one of Maggie's grants, I could tell you, because she is really great with keeping me in the loop. I have a COPS grant and a energy grant that I'm working with Debbie Redford on. I have a new one that I've been asked to report on that I'm going to bring to you guys. And if you guys would like me to report on that second COPS grant, which runs with the first one that I'm reporting on, then I know about that as well. But there are grants where they come to me and they say, who's doing the report on this? We got an email that said it's late, and I couldn't even tell you who's reporting on that. A lot of them are out of, they're not in the county. So, or they might be in the county, but they're not in this courthouse. We've hired a firm to report on this one, but I have never got any information on who that firm is. So I never know. I can't even give them a number to be able to call or an email for them to forward that email on to make sure that they got that report. So, yeah, those dates are very critical. I would love to see some type of system. Jim and I have discussed some type of system being implemented to where it gives us warning when reports are due. Danny and I have discussed some system of it coming up when a report is due. The one with the Hiding Place Ministries, I know that they were involved in an audit and there was a lot of stuff that we didn't know about, but really that should have been in our loop better to where, I know we passed that to Debbie Redford and they kind of blocked her and wouldn't let her know no more, but that's one that, slipped through the cracks and the time expired. So we really, it's wonderful to get the grant money. It's great, but we really need some type of system. I agree. And if nothing else, we need to know who's reporting on that. You guys need to know as well. So that when we have questions, we can get in touch with that company. Right now, you could go to my office and pull any report, and it's there. It's same with Maggie. But I couldn't, there's times when Julian calls, and I have to tell her, I'm so sorry, I have a copy, but I couldn't even tell you who's reporting on it. So that's...
And whenever those reports get behind, that reflects on the entire county as far as the ability to receive grants.
Absolutely. Well, there is a system that I demoed when I was in Reno for the National Association of Counties. I mean, there's a company that does that. I mean, it's what they do, contracts and grants. It's called eCivics. They want to do a demo for us. It's pretty pricey, and that's the challenge. Those systems are out there that because they are tied to the grants programs, it automatically populates the report dates into a reminder for everybody. It's a good program, but it's costly.
One more thing, can I make a statement? I've said to Jimmy many times, and I think I've said it to Rich Finley, I think that the county, since we're getting big and we're getting all of the grant money in, and et cetera, that you really need to take a look at the possibility of whoever is going to be your grant writer, that you have one person or possibly two that does nothing but monitor all of these grants. That way, all of the grants, all of the county grants and contracts you could possibly put in them together would be housed into one area, and one person who has dealt with the grants are familiar with it. And I think that's what gives Linda and I a very good rapport as far as keeping track of when the reports are due and et cetera, is because we deal with those grants on a, and Jimmy can verify this, on a monthly basis.
Right.
And maybe it's time that the county now takes a look at putting somebody in that position where they are responsible for all the reports being done, you know, all of the sheriff's reports. You know, we write the grants for the sheriff's department, but that one person is responsible for all of the reporting on those grants. The same thing with Linda's grants, possibly the same thing with the contracts. You can kind of combine it together. It is a big time-consuming. Grants are very, very time-consuming.
So you guys would be open to that then?
Pardon?
You would be open to that, Maggie?
But what you're saying is you're not going to do anything, your department wouldn't do anything different.
Yes, we would. In that aspect, you would take the grant, we would write the grant, let's say we write the grant, we do grant writing. When that grant is accepted by you, okay, it is then turned over to the person who is responsible for maintaining those records and those reports from that day forward.
And that person would be the contact person on the grants and everything.
Grants. Yeah. It's like an office.
And you would be fine with someone else doing the reporting?
Yes. Well, we do it correctly.
And then, I mean, obviously it would work with you because you initiated, they'd have to go.
That way all of your purchasing requests and everything
is
that person.
Is coming through one department, and they can do all of the grants. They can do road and bridge grants. They can do Linda's grants as far as whatever she does. The sheriff's department, I mean, we're getting big enough that all of this road and bridge, I mean, all of this money is coming in, and somebody needs to monitor that. Because you're right, someday I'm going to be gone, some days Linda's going to be gone. And if you don't follow through, which we ran into, you're going to have to return the money.
Right, after we spend it.
I mean, that's the bottom line. You're going
been
to have to
through there, haven't we? Yeah. That deal.
Yeah.
All right, I have a question.
Maggie and I spend hours and days working on grants to make sure everything works out. She's got a whole nother job that she runs, and I as well. I run our whole purchasing department for the county, and like our energy grant, we are a subgrantee from DNR, so I have 2 days to turn that report around to DNR so that they can report to the federal government, and that's a monthly and quarterly, and the COPS grant I report on quarterly, and now we've received another one, which will leave me reporting for 3 grants, plus as well as doing all the purchasing for those grants and the different agencies, plus for our own Taney County. So I think it's a wonderful idea to have a person.
Just a good example of what can happen on that. When I first took over, when I was first elected and took over as sheriff, how many, $150,000? We worked with the COPS program for many months. Over a 3-year contract that nobody had done any reporting on prior, and they was wanting the county to turn over $150,000 back to them.
Wow.
So that's the kind of things you can get into.
That makes sense to me, but the question's in my mind, which surprises me that you're willing to turn that over like that, is in the sheriff's department, I mean, you understand those grants, and to have someone that can take over that understanding, and then they've got to do it for road and bridge, and they've got to do it for all the different grants.
Each grant would be basically the same.
They're fundamentally the same, aren't they?
I mean, it's just, okay, it goes to this one, it goes to this one, or whatever. There's not that much difference because most of them come out of the same programs.
It just seems like, I agree that that person needs to be there, but that person ought to be able to lean on Maggie in that case that these things are happening to Sister or Road and Bridge or whoever it is.
You know, that's why I said possibly maybe there would be one or two persons that could do in that. You know, one that does nothing but Road and Bridge and the other one does all of the rest of them. Most of your reporting periods and et cetera on your grants are done exactly at the same time. Like Linda's and my reporting periods, for all of the federal grants, the J grants, and the COPS grant, the reporting periods are the same. Your quarterly reports might vary maybe a month, 30 days different. Dave Rozelle's MJCCG grants, and the ICAT grants. All of those reporting periods are exactly the same time as my federal grants is and Linda's.
You know that. See, I'm on a different page than I guess than what everybody else is. I want one person in charge of knowing, you know, when those grants are due. But we have lots of grants that are yearly that come in that we need to have a electronic signal to be sent to a file that says, Nikki, this grant is going to be due on such and such a date. She knows from that file to take it to Maggie, well, to take it to Road and Bridge, or to take it to wherever.
And that's what we're saying. If you had one person that handled all these, and that person be the contact person on the grant. See, on a lot of grants, I'm contact person. I get emails from the federal government or whoever the grant is from, tells me you've got a report that's going to be due this day. I mean, that's already there. On all your grants, you will get the, if you're the contact person, you'll automatically get the emails telling you this grant's due.
Right.
This grant's due.
Well, let me say this. I feel like we're kind of chasing off here just a little bit. We need to chase there. I understand that. But we're talking about hiring another person or two persons for grants, which we've got it in our industrial or economic budget.
We do. Contract management. We have money in there.
Well, we've got Jones' position to replace.
Well, we've
not even tried to. We haven't made any attempt to replace her. Right. But anyway, we're talking about adding, getting new people. I feel like we need to get something done today to get this started, and if a new person gets here in a month, then we work that in. We just got to get these contracts. And a grant's a contract, right?
A grant or a contract. They're two both, separate, but
they're different. But we got to keep track of both of them.
Right.
And I think for today, we need to nail down that the commission office
will have a copy.
Is responsible for that, and to some form on these grants that there's dates, and then let's move to hiring a grant person, and then maybe that person will take over what our office is doing, and that'll free up Nikki to do other things or whatever.
So I'm good with our office being responsible for signatures, but the point of contact is still whoever initiates it. That doesn't change. Nikki and or the office will receive the paperwork, post it, make sure there's a vote on it, then get the appropriate signatures attaching the draft minutes, and then get the original to the clerk's office, a copy to Rick's office or the auditor's office, a copy to the initiator, and a copy to the commission.
Okay, if the initiator has not signed it yet, say it's like it's in the outside company.
Right.
We have to send.
That's still,
you know,
it still
original,
has to be responsible for the commission.
And then we have to wait for an original. Okay.
Right, still the commission's office
Correct.
Is responsible for gathering all the appropriate signatures before it gets to the clerk's office.
Yeah, I think that's great. And Nikki can be responsible for mailing it and work with the initiating
right.
office.
I usually send a letter with it.
That's fine, but I think that's how I've kind of flow charted it out here. So, okay.
Do you look on your face, Nikki, yours understanding this flow chart we just heard?
Yes, because a lot of times this is what I do.
It's just not all the time.
Not all the time.
And
I
that's,
see
it's
clarification.
The, it's the all the time that gets us
yeah.
in trouble.
It's the
yes.
ones that we don't
and it
do.
Has.
I don't know about. But anyway, I would like for you to come back and show us how it's working.
Okay.
To Danny's point, I think he's on the same page. We want to see where they're going to where contracts are kept, and just reaffirm what Jim just said to us in a day or two or a week or two or something.
And I've got a problem with Nikki on all the stuff. Because she has lots of duties that she can't take care of everything that we're asking her to do. I know she wants to. She does a great job with it. But we've got to think about location and a person responsible, and that can be her. But she can only do so much. I mean, she's our babysitter.
Well, we got...
That's Danny, just take care of that. Just take that duty away. She can do all the rest of it, I think. She don't have to babysit you guys anymore. I'm joking. I think probably it won't be a whole lot more. In fact, I think you may be making it easier for her by saying, hey, look, you are the ones going to do this.
Yeah.
But previously, I mean, I may have, somebody from planning and zoning bring in a contract for me to sign or something like that, and I don't know for sure what's going on. I haven't listened to the commission. I can't listen to the commission all the time either. I think with it this way, you know, people are going to know where to go. We've got to perform. And the number of contracts and grants that we have in the county, it's a pretty good size number, but I don't think it's overwhelming.
Takes a lot less time to have it organized and sent to one place like that than it does to have to go out here and try to hunt them back up and take care of problems in.
I think you make it easier on it rather than more difficult.
And again, we got to start somewhere. And if we're putting too much, to your point, Danny, then we'll address that as it comes about. But we got to start somewhere.
I mean, do you guys want me to come back to you in 2 weeks, or?
I would be pleased if a week or two or sometime.
At least two. I mean, there'd be
sometime that in the near future to see that we're closing up the cracks on it.
Just a suggestion, you may want to send an email out to all the department heads and everything so everybody...
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Do we want to kind of get that established, though, first, to have a location with a filing area? Nikki and I have talked about the back room up there that we had already to file contracts and things like that. And, I mean, to the outside, as Jimmy said, this reflects on Tank County. And to... the outside world of somebody calling over here and wanting something and us not being able to provide it in a timely manner is not a good reflection. So that's what I want to do.
And I like the fact that Nikki's going to be bringing it, because I have other people bringing it and say, would you send it probably to Nikki? And sometimes I get it to her and sometimes I forget. Your office is coming down to get it, and we'll make sure that loop gets
filled. Let's meet again in a week on this after discussion.
Is there an email that's going to go out to the department heads? And who's going to do that?
Should we wait on that until you've had a little time to process this? Or are you comfortable to go now? I think there ought to be an email, yes. Are you ready to do that now, or do you want to...
I mean, I think it, like an informative email going out to them, letting them know that you guys
this is what we're working
this is
towards.
What we're deciding to do, yes.
Try me.
Find me.
Who's sending that email?
Nikki.
Yeah. That was a dumb question.
Yeah, it should either come from the commission or the commission said to do this on this day.
You want me to help assist write
give you
email
a little more.
It can come from the commission email address?
Give you a little more time. Let's do this in your time frame on Monday that you always have scheduled with us. That gives us 10 days to work on it instead of the 7-day work week that we have. So.
Great.
I've got one more question that I just thought of just now. I was handing Nikki this. When she goes and takes this to Rick and Donna to attest, then she could bring it back to me, because these usually the companies will meet me in my office and sign the contracts, and then I can give it back to her, and she'll follow through from there with the giving me the copy and so forth to Donna. Is that correct? Is that how? Does that sound?
That's between you guys. All I want to make sure is that she has that for the commission.
Just bring it to me and I'll get it right back to you. Okay.
All right. We're good. How are we going to complete the grant person? We're going to set a date to come back and talk about that. I'm in total agreement. We got enough going on. It's important all the way around for everybody. And I'm with Danny. There's only so much Nikki can do. And although it may, as Rick brought up, it may smooth out to... Anyway, maybe we put that off a month or two, but I think we need to...
I mean, I have a suggestion, but we can maybe post it for Monday and talk in executive session about some people and stuff, but there's also some other duties. I mean, Jillian obviously is up there, and she does a tremendous amount of work for the office too. And sometimes she's working outside, doing outside non-three commissioner work. So we've got some money in the IDA that can help free up hours in the office. There's a way we can readjust some hours, how they're both working up there.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Sounds good.
We'll just post it the next, Monday we may just talk about it in person. It'll be a personal or Bob session. I can spring it up.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Because if we don't date it, as everybody knows, it won't happen. 6 months disappears, and then a year disappears.
Okay. So we're good?
Anything else we'll on contracts?
We'll work on an email, Nikki and I, and then she can present it to us Monday what the email will say.
Okay. That'd be good.
And that way we can send it out and let everyone know what we're moving towards.
You're going to help her draft that, Jim?
Yes.
Okay. Let's move on then.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for their input and help.
Thank you.
Good time. Okay, before you leave, Miss Nikki, we've got a change order. You might as well hang around, please. Okay, we've got a couple of yahoos from Great River Engineering. Good, you all right? Change order on manhole rim improvement.
Yeah, the contractor is requesting a 90-day extension on that, and he gave a couple reasons, but the reason that makes the most sense to me is that, I don't know if you remember back, but we originally bid this project, and then we spent quite a bit of time there for, a couple of months deciding whether we were going to add some manholes to this project, and we talked about doing some adding some over on Acacia Club Road, some in Poverty Point. We even talked about adding one in Taneyville. We had a discussion of whether that we could do that or not. Essentially, his argument is that when he originally bid the project, he had this project set up to bring in a coring machine, I think from Colorado, that would come in and basically drill these big holes around these manholes that would be, we'd remove the concrete or asphalt, like in most cases asphalt, or probably all the cases asphalt, and then do a neat repair and concrete patch. Well, what he's saying is that when we collectively decided to add manholes to the project and that type of thing, at that point, he had to lose his position in line with this specialized machine, and he couldn't just at the whims call the guy up and say, come back down here. And to keep his bid price, which was low, that he wasn't able to bring them in and start, and that's what's causing this delay. He says, I just can't start this guy whenever I want it. And since we added those manholes, that caused me to miss my schedule with this specialized piece of equipment.
Has it been approved by the Sewer Board?
Yes.
Okay. So it's a 90-day extension. How many more do they have left?
We haven't been doing inspection. The sewer district staff have been doing inspections. So
he's been doing some of them already?
Yeah. He's working on it. He's just beyond his contract time, and so he's requesting more time. And
we're talking about manholes, right?
Manhole rims.
Yeah, I'm seeing that all over. I mean, off of Iowa Colony, they all got done because I had some complaints over there, and those are all done now. So I'm seeing them done throughout the area.
So those big machines here doing them?
Yeah, he's done it gone. Yeah.
Well, okay. Approval by the Sewer Board is enough for me, and I'm going to make a motion that we go ahead and approve change order
number three. Two or three? Three.
Number three. It's that
number
here.
Three.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carried.
Okay. And then the next change order is regarding the dam site Spring Creek project, and this is a final change order to close out the quantities. During the course of the project, there were some decisions made that make this possible. One is rather than it was originally a bid to rebuild all the roads, but rather than getting into potential issues with subgrade stabilization and that type of thing and trying to keep the cost down, we worked with Road and Bridge and the contractor to keep that damage down and to be able to just do an overlay. So I saved the biggest part of this deduction is saving money on asphalt. we have a similar deal that you guys are going to see pretty soon on Ozark Beach, where we saved quite a bit of money on that, doing that as well. But and then there was a property owner that we initially had intended to put a gravity sewer up to a structure, but that structure had burned, so we removed that from the project, so we're removing that at this point. And then there's some, when we built the service lines, several houses on dam site were tied together, so rather than having to build individual sewer service lines to each house, some of them are connected. That's just the way they were, and actually the lines between the houses ran under the houses and stuff like that. So essentially what we end up with is a deduct here, and the deduct is $89,836.70, so which will bring the contract down to a zero.
So the sewer board's approved it?
Yep.
Motion for approval.
Second. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Change order number six.
Yep.
Wonderful. We like those lowered prices.
Well, it happened every once in a while. I'm glad to see it happen this time. Like I said, Ozark Beach Skinner, I'd have a pretty good one, too, for a similar type of issues. You know, most of it's paving, but a few other issues like that. So, appreciate it. I'll get your signature.
Thank you, Mel. Thank you, John. Anything else?
Just the tabled item?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Just...
Is anybody able to get a hold of Mr. Ulrich?
Yes.
We're ready.
Okay. We heard from Mr. Ulrich. We called him. He said that he had sold the place under a verbal contract, and that it went as far as another individual was insuring the property and paying the lot rent on it to the trailer park, and then payments fell behind to the point that he had to start paying the insurance and applying it to the payment and the lot rent, and that then it got to the point of an individual being $3,000 behind on his payments, and so that's when ownership and everything just went back to Mr. Dean.
What year was that?
That occurred this year in March.
Is Bob listening? If Bob's listening, come in. Come on down.
Thank you, sir. So the So yeah, now it's a what now? Does that not sound like a contract for deed that?
The insurance never changed out of his name because I paid him an extra $50 to help him pay for the insurance.
Yeah, I'm not sure this is.
This was just Dean's conversation to me, and there is a conference call if you guys want to do it. Dean, he didn't. He said, yeah, I said I had took it back.
He did take it back?
In March.
Of this year.
And that's the problem we have is January 1 is tax date.
The reason I wanted Bob is because Sheila called with Bob's presence too, and to verify.
Yeah, we need Bob. I'm sending a message right now to see if I can find Bob.
But that was Dean's conversation on the phone with me.
That's the reason I wanted two people calling and the same conversation verified. So.
You lost me on that. So somebody else called besides James?
I had Sheila and James call on a conference call. And
oh, Sheila.
No, Sheila wasn't on the conference call.
Well, I give her the number.
Right.
And Bob went with her to call.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
Because this came across Jimmy Harding's phone. He had a separate number.
Okay. The reason I did this is so that we would have two confirmations of exactly what went on.
Now, Dean did give up possession those years. It wasn't... Nothing.
All right. Bob's not answering, so what do you want to do? I was trying to get a hold of Bob in his office. We have to recess to go find him. Let's recess for a couple of minutes.
I have to leave at 11:45. I have a lunch appointment that I can.
Let's recess a couple of minutes and see if we can find him. If not, we'll have to put it off till Monday.